Lamed Vav Amud Beis. We left off Pilpuli. We have a lot to do. Second to last of the shortest lines on the page. Lamed Vav Amud Beis. So the Gemara says like this. Pilpuli. So Pilpuli, I will say, are peppercorns. Right, so peppercorns, you could see.
Capers
to peppercorns were going. So peppercorns are primarily used as a spice. So pilpuli, Rav Sheshet Amar Shehakol. So what happens if you eat pilpuli? Rav Sheshet says, you see a shehakol. Rava Amar Lo Klum. Rava says no bracha at all. Va'azda Rava Letamei, the Amar Rava, kas pilpuli biyom dikipuri potter. Rava says, if you were to go ahead and chew on peppercorns, bless you, on Yom Kippur, your potter. Kas zangvila biyom kippur. Potter. Similar, if you were to chew on ginger on Yom Kippur, you also would be potter. So we'll say, so according to Rava, then these items really are not considered food items. Same way, you're not chayiv on Yom Kippur, you're also not chayiv for a bracha. Meisve hoyreb meir omer mimashma shene emar va'araltem arloso espirio. Eini yodea sheitz ma'acholu. So we'll say, the pasuk says the following. The pasuk says, "V'chisavu el ha'aretz unetatem kol eitz ma'achal, va'araltem arlaso espirio." You'll come to the land. You'll plant any tree of food, right? Food tree. Good morning. Fruit tree, and you'll go ahead and you'll observe the laws of Orla. So the Gemara says, interestingly enough, the Gemara says, "Why do I need the extra phrase eitz ma'achal?" Obviously, it's an eitz ma'achal. It's obviously talking about a fruit tree because the pasuk itself says pre right afterwards. Why do I need that phrase? So listen to this. It comes to include a tree where the taste of the fruit and the tree is the same. And what is an example of this? So the Gemara says, hapalpulin. So it happens to be the peppercorn. Apparently the peppercorns themselves don't have all that much of a taste. So apparently they kind of taste the same as the tree they grow on. The way a peppercorn grows is, if you look at it too quickly, it almost looks like grapes. Because they grow in a cluster. They grow in a cluster that hangs down also. So apparently, the peppercorn and the vine-type protrusion that it grows on apparently tastes very similar, which of course is not saying much for the taste of the peppercorn. All right. So it comes to teach us that. So the point I will say is that Eitz Ma'achal comes to teach us that there are in fact certain things where the fruit tastes like the tree. Why is that important for us? Number one, to teach us, number one, it teaches us that peppercorns are chayiv in Arla, and it also teaches us that Eretz Yisrael lacks nothing. A land that you will not eat bread with difficulty, and a land that lacks nothing. So part of the beauty of Eretz Yisrael is that whatever you want, you find it, you have it, including what? Including if you want to find a fruit that happens to taste like the tree, you could also find that in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Lokasha. So now we'll say, now we have a contradiction. What's the contradiction? The contradiction ultimately is, what's the status of the peppercorn, right? Is the peppercorn considered to be something edible? Is it not considered to be something edible? Before, and the Rava said you don't make any kind of bracha on it because ultimately there's no bracha, but now you see from the Braisa that there is, to which the Gemara says, not Akasha. Habiritivasa habiyaveshta. One is a moist peppercorn, one is a dry peppercorn. So apparently the dried out peppercorn is not really edible, as opposed to the moist peppercorn, which is. Omri le Rabbanan le Mareimar. So Rabbanan said to Mareimar, Kas zangvila biyomet de kipuri potter. If one chews, we're going back to what the Braisa said. If one chews on ginger, on Yom Kippur, you're potter. V'ha amarava hay hamalto de asya mi beihundoi shario. Umevarchan le brepi adama. So I will say, the fact that the Gemara said that the Braisa said that if you chew on ginger on Yom Kippur, that your potter indicates that ginger is not a food item. It's not a food item. But yet the Gemara says over here that Rava says that is hamalta. Hamalta was some type of Indian dish that was made of, or some Indian concoction, that was made of ginger and honey mixed together. So this hamalta that comes from Behundai, that comes from India, Sharia, is permitted. And you make a bracha on it, which indicates to us what? That in fact ginger is a food. Ginger is a food, to which the Gemara says, Lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Habiritivasa, habiyaveshta. One is talking about moist ginger, one is talking about dried ginger. So the Gemara goes on to the next discussion. So the Gemara says, Chavetz Kedera. So what do you do, Chavetz Kedera? So Chavetz Kedera, we're going to spend a lot of time on. I just have to give you a little bit of introduction to this. Obviously, as you've caught on by now, so, you know, we're not in Kansas anymore. So the days of, you know, beautiful Agatha and all. So now the Gemara's transitioned to some very detailed Gemara. So I just want to give you the chizuk. Hold tight. It's a lot more learning in the Shema, but some fantastic Hilchos Brachos is going to come out of this. So now we're going to begin with this topic of Chavetz Kedera that's going to take us over the next couple of blocks. So Chavetz Kedera, take a look at Rashi. Chavetz Kedera, min ma'achal kafui, kimo cholav shechatzvuhu bekeva, kach osin ma'achal kafui bekedera. So the first thing about this Chavetz Kedera is, it's a solid food mass. What is it made up of? The Gemara says, Rashi says, ulekaman mefarishla kimcha vidufsha umishcha. It's a mixture of flour, honey, and oil. Flour, honey, and oil all together, they're not just mixed together, they're actually cooked together. So we're going to see that there are different types of chavetz also. Because, for example, this chavetz happens to be dealing with flour. We'll see that there was chavetz that was made with also actual bread. So pieces of bread, which of course brings up all these, so it's going to be very exciting. So the Gemara says like this, Chavetz Kedera, v'chein daisa. What's daisa? Rashi says, shalchitin kitushos b'machtashas. Daisa is normally translated as porridge. It's not very helpful. But what it really is essentially it's pounded grains. But unlike Chavetz Kedera, which is mixed together with honey and cooked, daisa is not cooked. Daisa is just pounded grain. So Chavetz Kedera, daisa, Rav Yehuda Omer Shakol Nebidvaro, Rav Kana Omer Bore Minei Mezoros. Okay, machlokis in the bracha. The Gemara says the following. But daisa grain, the kuli amalo pligi, the bore minei mezonos. So when it's plain daisa, plain pounded grain, everyone agrees that it's mezonos. Ki pligi, but daisa kein chavetz kedera. The machlokis comes up when you have a chavetz that's like chavetz kedera, which would seem to indicate that you're mixing in honey into the pounded grain. Rav Yehuda Amar Shahakal. So when you have daisa, pounded grain mixed with honey, Rav Yehuda says Shahakal, why Samar Duvsha Iker? He holds that the honey is the Iker. Honey is the primary item, and therefore get a shakol. Rav Kahana Amar Bremeni Mezonos, Savar Smita Iker. Rav Kahana says that it gets a Mezonos. Why? Because he holds that the flour or the grain is the Iker. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Kahana Mistabra. Rav Kahana's position seems more Mistabra. Rav Ushmol Amri Tarvayu, Kol Shiesho Mechamesha Saminim Mevarachin Alav Boremi Mezonos. So we'll say this will be a principle that we'll spend a little bit more time also on, that the Gemara seems to say when it comes to Hos Brachos, whenever you have something that has grain always becomes the primary item. And therefore, even if the ikker is not the grain, so meaning argument saying even if the honey is the ikker, as long as it has grain, it gets the mezonos. Gufa, Rav Ushmol Darmi Tarvayo, Kol Shishu Mechamesh Saminim, Mevarchin Labrimine Mezonos. So now the Gemara goes back and visits this statement. Rav Ushmol both say, if it has grain, it gets the mezonos. V'itmar Nami, Rav Ushmol Darmi Tarvayo, Kol Shishu Mechamesh Saminim, Mevarchin Alav Boremine Mezonos. Now both say, here's what's interesting. The Gemara is bringing up two statements. In statement number one, Rav and Shmuel say, Kol Shehu Mechamesh Saminim. Anything that is one of the five grains, of course, that we know are five grains, are wheat, barley, oats, spelt, and rye. Those are the five different grains that we have. So the first statement says, anything that is of the five grains, you make a mezonos. And the second statement says what? First statement says, Kol shigeshu mechameshes aminin, anything that has of the five grains. And second statement says, anything that is of the five grains. So the statements seem to be repetitive, so the Gemara says they're not repetitive. Utzricha, diashmo inon kol shehu, if the Gemara would have just said, anything that is of the five grains, hava aminim mishum deise beinei, I would have said that's because the grain itself is be'en. That's because when it says anything that is of the five grains, what that really means is you have mamish grain. You have it sitting there right in front of you and it's identifiable. That's when you make a mezonos. Aval al yedei ta'aroves lo. But I might have thought that maybe if the grain is mixed in with something, and so maybe the grain is not as identifiable, maybe you don't make a mazonos. Top of lamazayin, kamash molon, kol shiyeshbo. Therefore, the Gemara goes out of its way to say, no, anything that has grain in it, even if the grain is not recognizable, gets a mazonos. V'yashmolino kol shiyeshbo, and if the Gemara would have just said anything that has in it, borei minim, five grains, hava amina kol shiyeshbo chameshes aminin in, Aval orez vidochan lo mishum da al yidei taroves. But I would have thought the following. When do you make a mezonos in a mixture? That's when you have what? Actual grain. But if you have rice or millet, we're going to leave off millet right now. We're going to focus on rice. If you have rice mixed into that, then what? Then you would not make a borei minei mezonos. Aval isa be'ine, but if you have rice by itself, I would have thought that maybe make a mizonos on rice. Kamash malon kol shehu mechameshes haminin hu dimivarchin ala brei minei mizonos laafiku laafuke orez v'dochen daafilu isay be'enei lo mivarchin brei minei mizonos. Kamash malon, the Gemara teaches us that what? That the brisa comes to tell us that it's only on grains that you make a mizonos, but rice under no circumstances, either in a mixture or if it stands on its own, do you make a brei minei mizonos? Because it's zayin, because it's a grain, because it has grain qualities. You can make it into bread, and it satiates, and it rises. Correct. So we'll say, so now what the Gemara is saying over here is like this. What the Gemara is saying is, therefore, the two statements of Rav and Shmuel are necessary, because the two statements teach us that whether the grain is visible or whether the grain is mixed in, halacha lemaisa, you make a mezonos. And I will say, just so you should know, this has major ramifications for brachos. So many of you may be aware there was a raging dispute within the Jewish community, mamish raging, regarding licorice. Right? Licorice. Because licorice happens to use flour as a binder. So there's a big shaila in general what the bracha of licorice is. Is licorice a shahakal? So you look at it, you say, shahakal, what's the shaila? But it has grain, it has flour that's there as a binder. So it's big machlokis. But we'll get to, there's a mefurish Rashi that talks about licorice. We'll get to it. Not licorice by name, but Rashi's equivalent in whatever it is in medieval France about licorice. But my point just is that these two statements of Rav and Shmuel are very important for us for Hilchos Brachos, because it tells us whether the grain is visible or whether the grain is mixed in and no longer visible, the bracha is brei minei mezonos. But what this yielded for us is a little bit of a problematic byproduct, which is that the position of the rice seems to be that rice, under no circumstances, is getting a mezonos, whether it's mixed in or whether it's standing alone. So the Gemara says, 1 second, v'orez lo mevarchin on brei minei mezonos. Is that true that on rice we're not going to say mezonos? V'hatanya, have you the fun of pas orez u pas dochen, mevarich alav tchila v'sof kemase gedera? So the Gemara says that if somebody brought before you rice bread or millet bread, so what do? You go ahead and you make a bracha beforehand and afterwards, as you would on a maise gedera. We'll say maise gedera refers to a cooked item made of grain. So what do you make on a maise gedera? Borei minei mezonos, and ala michya as your bracha achrona. So the Gemara says if somebody brings you a loaf of rice bread, you go ahead and you say borei minei mezonos, and ala michya. So the Gemara says v'gabi maisik kedera tanya. I'm sorry here. And when it comes to maisik kedera, a cooked dish that has grain, the Braisa says tanya b'tchila mevarich halav borei minei mezonos ulibasof mevarich halav bracha achas mein shalosh. So the Gemara says explicitly, you see that rice is treated like grains. Again, rice bread is not going to be accorded the status of regular bread, but rice at least is given a grain status. Then on rice bread, you should make a brei minei mezonos and ala mechia afterwards. So the Gemara says like this: kimay sekedera velo kimay sekedera. The truth is, rice bread is treated like a cooked grain item and not like a cooked grain item. How so? Kimay sekedera dimevarchinan alav tchila vasof. So the truth is, it's like a maisekedera in that what? And that you'll have to make a bracha bracha before you eat it and after you eat it. However, v'lo kimay sekedera, v'lo b'may sekedera b'tchila bori minei mezornos ulubasov bracha achas mein shalosh, v'ilu hacha, so on the other hand, it's not like a cooked item with grain, a cooked grain dish. Why? Because of the cooked grain dish, as we just said before, you make a mezornos first and alamichya afterwards. However, hacha by rice, b'tchila mevarich alav shahakol nye b'dvaro, ulubasov, borei nefashos rabos vechesronon al komash shebara. But for rice, the Gemara says you're going to make a shahakol and a borei nefashos. So it's an interesting Gemara. So on one hand, it's like a ma'aseh kedera in that what? You have to make a bracha before you eat it and after you eat it. Okay, which is like any other food. But it's not like a ma'aseh kedera, because a ma'aseh kedera, cooked item made of grain, gets a mezonos and alamichya, but rice will get shahakol borei nefashos. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Va'oras love ma'aseh kedera hu? Are you telling me then that rice is not treated like grain? V'hatanya, but we learned, Elohein ma'aseh kedera. The following are the types of grain that were used in various cooked grain dishes. I will say, this is not like a culinary statement. This is a halachic statement. The Gemara is talking about the different forms of grain. So what were they? So interestingly enough, if you follow this with Rashi, Rashi says, so for number one is chilka. So Rashi says, chilka is chiti dimisbori bi'isasa chada l'trei, split kernel. You would take the kernel of wheat and you would split it into two. Targis is splitting one kernel into three parts. Soles is splitting one kernel into three parts. Did I say that right? Did I repeat it myself over here? So chilka is two parts. Tirgas is two parts. Soles is fine flour. Zoriz is four parts. Our son is five parts. So this is all just taking a particular kernel of grain and splitting it up into multiple parts. Va'orez and rice. So Rabosai, here we see the Braisa says explicitly that what are examples of a cooked dish made with grain? So first five are all these situations, or first six are examples of actual wheat products, and then the Braisa throws in there rice. So the Gemara says, Haman, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he disanya, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri omer orez min dagan. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is of the opinion that rice is a form of grain. Now listen to this. Now he's stark about this. V'chayoven al chimutzo kares. And if you go ahead and you make rice dough on Pesach, and you allow it to rise, you're chayiv kares, meaning if you eat it, you're chayiv kares. Yotze yidei chovaso b'Pesach. And not only that, if you want to make rice matzah, you can do that as well. Ava Rabbanon lo. But the Rabbanon disagree. The Rabbanon disagree. The Rabbanon say that although rice has certain grain characteristics, there are only five types of grain and that's it. The Rabbanon lo, is that true that the Rabbanon say that rice is not a grain? V'hatanya, hakoses esachita, mevarech aleh borei mipre pri adama. If somebody chews on wheat, right, you eat a wheat stalk. So the halacha is, the Gemara says, did you say brei pri adama? Tachna, Af'a ubishla. So we'll say this is another fascinating case which goes back to our Chavetz Kedera. If you ground up the wheat, made it into bread, and then cooked the bread afterwards. So meaning you took something that was bread, and you went ahead now and you made it into a cooked dish, then what? Bisman shaprusos kayamos. When the pieces of bread are what? Are in existence. Now Rashi points out what that means is shalona mucho bebishulon, that the bread is not dissolved, because you could cook bread in a way where essentially there's no appearance of bread anymore. Right? The bread is simply dissolved, and by looking at it, you can't tell that it once was bread. So if the prusas are kayamos, if it looks like bread, then what? Bitchila mevarich alea hamotzi lechem mina aretz, ulibasov mevarich alea gimel brachos. So we'll say this is a very important halacha, because this has major ramifications. People make all kinds of things. Let's say we're leftover challah or different things like that. So the shayla always is, what is the bracha on those items? So the Gemara says very simply, it depends. If the bread still retains its form, meaning it doesn't have to be a whole loaf, but if you clearly see pieces of bread, then halacha lemaisa, it's bread, and therefore you're going to go ahead and you're going to make hamotzi, you're going to bench afterwards. Im eina prusos kayamos, if the pieces are no longer in existence, meaning the bread essentially has dissolved, it's dissolved into one great mass. Then if the bread has totally dissolved and lost its appearance, then what? Then Allah can make a mazonos, and ultimately a mazonos and an alamichya afterwards. Fine. Now, we'll say, the truth is, right now, we'll come back to this topic. That's not our major concern. Our major concern is the next statement. Hakoses es ha'orez. And by the way, I just want to tell you, that statement is halacha lemaisa. That statement is halacha lemaisa. So whenever you take bread and you're making it into something else, the shayla always comes up, what bracha? It's pretty simple. If it looks like bread, smells like bread, it tastes like bread, then even if it doesn't taste like bread, it's bread. As long as it looks like bread, it's bread. Once it begins to lose its appearance, then by definition it's called mizonos. However, hakoses es haorez, if one chews on rice, mevarech alav brei pri adama, make a bread pri adama, tachno af au bishlo, if you ground it up, right, you ground it up, you made it into bread, and then you cook the loaf, af al pisha prusos kayamos, even though the pieces are intact, meaning even though it looks like bread, the halacha is betchila mevarich alav borei minei mezonos ulebasof mevarich alav bracha achas mein shalosh. So the Brayso here says what? So you make a mezonos and an alamichya. So true, it's not going to ever be accorded the real status of bread. But what did the Brayso just teach us? It's at least considered what? Like grain. Like grain. So the Gemara says, well, one second, money. Whose opinion does this reflect? Whose opinion does this reflect? If it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, remember, is the one who said what? That you could wait and you can make rice matzah. And if you go ahead and you let your rice dough rise on Pesach and you eat that, you're chayiv kares. So according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, if you're taking your loaf of rice bread and making it into something, it's no different than if you did that with a loaf of wheat bread. And if the prusos are chayimos, if the pieces are still recognizable, then halacha lemaisa, you should have to make hamotzi and bench. Elalav rabbanani. Rather, it must be the rabbis. Utiyufta derav ushmuel tiyufta. And it's a refutation of the statement of Rav and Shmuel that rice is not a grain. Indeed, it is a refutation. So Rav also, halacha lemaisa, how do we deal with rice? So of course, rice is a very interesting idea. Because on one hand, rice certainly in the eyes of halacha is given a grain status. But we also can't ignore the fact that what? That it's not a grain. So therefore, the compromised position we have is that halacha lemaisa, you make a borei minei mezonos, right, as a bracha rishona, but it gets a borei nefashos as a bracha achrona. It's the perfect halachic compromised position. And so you'll see to yourself, how can you give it a borei minei mezonos if at the end of the day it's not a grain? So the answer is, because remember, borei minei mezonos could be a much more expensive bracha than grain. Because essentially, in order to get a mezonos, what you need to be able to demonstrate is you are a midi design. You are an item that has the ability to satiate in a grain-like capacity. Rice satisfies that criteria. Therefore, there's no problem with us giving it a borei minei mezonos. On the other hand, we can't give it a ala michya because that bracha achron is clearly only reserved for grain-like items. Therefore, it gets a borei nefashos. Amar Mar.
Only rice bread? Or is that everything?
No, like rice, any kind of rice. Any kind of rice. Amar Mar. Hakoses es achitim avarech alea borei minei mezonos, borei pri adama. If one goes there and chews on a stalk of wheat, one makes a borei pri adama. Vatanya, we learn borei minei zeroim. We learned that others say you make a bracha of thank you Hashem for creating different forms of seeds. Okay, zroim. Lo kasha harav Yehuda harabanan disnan al yirakos omer brei pri adama. Rabbi Yehuda omer brei minei disham. So also remember again, we saw in the Mishnah the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is a big specificity guru, right? He believes that when it comes to brachos, we don't like to have general categories, but we should not that we have to assign a separate bracha to every single item, but we should have more defined categories than just simply ha'adama. Hadama covers everything. So therefore, just like Rabbi Huda said, that on herbage, you say borei minei dishoim, so Rabbi Huda would be of the opinion that if you went ahead and you ate a stalk of wheat, you'd go ahead and you'd say borei minei zroim. Okay, we don't pass him that way. Amar Mar, hakosis es ha'orez mevarech ala borei pri adama. If one goes ahead and chews on rice, chews on a stalk of rice, so you go ahead and you say borei pri adama. Tachno af al ubishlo, if you went ahead and then ground it up, right, made it into bread, baked it off, and then cooked it afterwards. Even though the pieces themselves are still in existence, Bov tchila mevarich ala borei minei mezonos. Ulebasof bracha achas mein shalosh. So the Braisa says, you make mezonos, and then ala mechya. So the Braisa says, ay vahatanya lebasof aloklum. Ay, but we learned elsewhere in a Braisa, I kind of ruined this for you a little bit, I apologize, I gave you the punchline. But the Braisa says that at the end, after you eat this rice concoction, you don't say anything. I will say, don't say anything. Does it literally mean don't say anything? Lebasof lo klum means borei nefashos. But elsewhere you just say borei nefashos. Amar Rav Sheshes says, lo kasha, harav gamliel harabanan. Two different opinions. Rav gamliel and harabanan. This sanya. Zeh klal. Koshu mishiva saminin. Anything that is of the seven species that Eretz Yisrael is blessed with. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Shalosh Brachos, the Chacham Omer Bracha Achas Mein Shalosh. So also listen to this. Rabbi Gamliel happens to hold that on any of the Shiva Saminin, whenever you eat them, you bench afterwards. The truth is, it's not such a crazy shita, because remember that the bracha of the Achalta V'Savata V'Rachta is juxtaposed to the bracha of the Shiva Saminim. So ultimately, Rabbi Gamliel says that Halocha L'Maisa, therefore you should bench anytime you eat any of the Shiva Saminim. And Rabbi Gamliel and the Chacham hold that no, you just say a bracha achas me'in shalosh, which remember, the bracha achas me'in shalosh would be your ala michya, would be your ala gefen, would be ala aretz v'ala peros. The bracha achas me'in shalosh essentially is a one paragraph bracha that really captures the elements of the first three brachos that we have of birkas hamazon. So it's a three in one, it's a condensed birkas hamazon. So the Gemara says, umasa b'Rabbi Gamliel v'azakenim. So listen to this. There was an episode that happened with Rabbi Gamliel and the elders, Shayim Subin Ba'aliyah B'Yericho, who were sitting and dining together in an aliyah in the attic in Yericho. V'heviu lifneim kosvos v'achlo. So what happened? Rabbi Gamliel was hosting, right? Rabbi Gamliel, I guess, was hosting them, and they brought out dates. They brought out dates for everybody to eat. V'nasan Rabbi Gamliel roshus Rabbi Akiva levarich. So what happened? Rabbi Gamliel gave Rabbi Akiva the honor of leading benching. Because remember, Rabbi Gamliel is of the opinion that when you eat Shivas Haminim, what do you do afterwards? You bench. So he said, Rabbi Akiva, please lead us in benching. And what happened? Kafatz uberach Rabbi Akiva bracha achas mein shalosh. So before Rabbi Gamliel, I guess, had him the chance, you know, to get in the coast, to bring in the Maim Achronim. Everybody washed my machronim, right? As soon before you got a chance to wash, to bring the my machronim, Rabbi Akiva said the ala eitz v'al priya eitz. He jumped and said bracha achas mein shalosh. So Amrali Rabbi Gamliel, Akiva, at mosay ata machnis rashecha bena machlokes, which is a nice way of saying, Akiva, when are you going to learn to mind your own business? Meaning, what was happening over here is, remember, who's dining together? So Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim. Rabbi Gamliel, now, and the Machlokas is going to come to a head right now, because they just ate dates. Rabbi Gamliel is preparing everyone to bench. The Chachamim say, we don't bench, say, bracha achas mein shalosh. And Rabbi Akiva takes matters into his own hands, and before benching could even start, he says, bracha achas mein shalosh. He says, ala eitz v'al priya eitz. So Rabbi Akiva, why are you getting involved? Amar li Rabbeinu. So Rabbi Akiva says, my teacher, afa pisha ata omer kain, afa pisha ata omer kain, v'chavirecha omrim kain, and see, even though you say this, and you remember, Rabbi Gamliel was also the Nasi, right? Rabbi Gamliel was the head of the Jewish people at this point in time. So Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbeinu, even though you say your position, and your friends, i.e. the Chacham, say their position, v'maratana Rabbeinu, yochid v'rabim halacha kirabim. Rebbe, you taught us that when there is a dispute between the individual and between the majority, the halacha follows the majority. And so, Rebbe, I was just following your instruction. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmo, Rabbi Yehuda says in his name of Rabbi Gamliel, Kol shuhu mishiva saminim, anything that is of the shiva saminim, the seven species, velo min daganhu, but is not a form of grain, o min dagan velo aso pas, or if it's a grain but it was not made into bread, Rabbi Gamliel omer shalosh brachos. Rabbi Gamliel says you still bench afterwards, which is again essentially the same position that we saw before. That anything is that is of the Shiva Saminim or a grain. Grains meaning part of Shiva Saminim as well, but meaning not made into bread, you bench. The Chachamim omer, the Chachamim say, bracha achos. And the Chacham on the other hand say, no, you don't bench afterwards. You just say this bracha achos mein shalosh. Kol she'eino lo mishiva saminim, velo min dagan. So anything that is not made of the shiva saminim, and is not a form of grain, meaning one of the five primary grains. Kigon, for example, pas orez v'dochen, like rice or millet bread. Rabbi Gamliel omer bracha achas me'in shalosh. Rabbi Gamliel says you say in ala mechya. The chachamim omrim v'loklum, and the chachamim say again loklum. You say nothing, meaning borei nefashos. So the Gemara says, one second. B'may ukimta, how are you establishing this statement? K'Rabbi Gamliel, because it seems to reflect the basic position of Rabbi Gamliel. So the Gemara says, one second. Eima seifa dereisha. But look at the end. Look at the last case or the first part of that braisa. What does it say? Im ein haprusos kayamos. If the pieces are not fully intact, then betchila mevarich aleha borei minei mezonos. Ulebasof mevarich aleha bracha achos mein shalosh. Then it, so the braisa says that let's say if you have this bread, this rice bread, and if the pieces are not intact, then what? In the beginning you make a brahmin amazonos, and the end you would make nothing. Excuse me. In the beginning you make a brahmin amazonos, and afterwards you make a bracha acha, a bracha achas mein shalosh. So the Gemara says, money, whose opinion does that reflect? E Rabbi Gamliel, if it's Rabbi Gamliel, hashta. Akosvos va'adaisa amar Rabbi Gamliel gimel brachos im ein haprusos kayamos im ein haprusos kamus mi boy. So Gemara says if it's Rabbi Gamliel, well, here's the problem. If Rabbi Gamliel holds that you make a bracha achas mein shalosh on dates and on pounded grain, then of course even if the pieces of bread are not visible, of course Rabbi Gamliel is going to make you say an ala michya. Meaning, if Rabbi Gamliel is making you say an ala michya even on non-grain, even on non-grain related items, then of course Rabbi Gamliel is not going to be mechalik if the pieces are visible or not. So the Gemara says, ala pshita rabbanon. If that's the case, then it can't be the position of the Rabbi Gamliel, it must be the rabbanon. I hachi kashya rabbanon ad rabbanon. If that's the case, there seems to be a contradiction between the position of the Rabbanon. Why? Because earlier we quoted the Rabbanon as saying that halacha lemaisa, you will make a borei minei mezonos on rice, but you'll say a borei nefashos afterwards. And in this braisa, it would appear to say that what? You'll make a borei minei mezonos on rice, and what? You'll make an ala michya afterwards. So the Gemara says, not a kasha. Elo li olam Rabbanon. V'tani gabi orez ulebasof eno mevarich alav velo klum. So the Gemara essentially says this second braisa must really have been recorded erroneously. We'll say you should understand when the Gemara said, and therefore, really to reconcile the two shitos, the Rabbanon and the two braisos are saying the same thing, that the position of the Rabbanon is on rice, you'll make the bracha of borei minei mezonos, but the bracha achrona will be a borei nefashos. So we'll say you have to understand something. When the Gemara gives an answer like that, like the braisa was recorded wrong, that's not just the Gemara trying to weasel its way out of a difficult shaila. So understand that the Gemara accepts the fact that in the transmission and transcription of Torah Shebaal Peh, there may have been some mistakes. So essentially, when we have two brisos, one of which is more authoritative than the other, because it's been ascribed to someone specific, we will go, and then we have another brisa that seems to contradict that. So if we could explain that the two brisos reflect two different opinions, that's fine. But if we can't attribute the second brisa to a new authorship, then by definition, the Gemara says, it must be that there was some flaw in the transcription. So for example, in this case over here, it must be that when the position of the Rabbanon was recorded, it was recorded wrong in brisa number two. Because the Shitas Rabbanon is explicitly stated in brisa number one. Borei minei mezonos for bracha rishona, borei nefashos. So bracha achrona on rice. The second brisa, which is totally anonymous, we know it can't be Rabbi Gamliel and it can't be Rabbanon. There's no one else left. The only option, therefore, is for us to say that it was recorded wrong, and therefore it must be the position of the Rabbanon, and therefore we change the phrase to say that the bracha achrona is in fact bringing the fashos. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hai rihato dechelkoi. So another interesting sugya. Rihato dechelkoi. So take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rabbi will say rihato dechelkoi. It's actually almost right across in Rashi. Like right across in five lines up. Rihata hu chavetz kedera. So rihata is this chavetz kedera, which remember is what we saw before, this cooked dish that has in it oil, flour and honey. Try to think of some type of contemporary
malam.
You know, this Sfadim make a dish after Pesach, which is oil, honey
and flour.
They make like little.
Do they call it chavetz kedera?
I don't know what it's called. All right. Pancake.
Yeah, it's a good. Okay. Oh, maybe that's like Iraq, like a mini. Sounds good. Either way.
Iraqis and Persians.
Oh, good. All right. So Amar Rava, Hai Riyata de Chalkoi. So we'll say we're going to see what's different over here. Chalkoi, Rashi says, B'nei Kfar, villagers. So villagers is a nice way of saying peasants, farmers, right? So the real common man. So we'll see why this is different. Hi Riyot and the Chalkoi, the Mafshi Be Kimcha. So also here's what's interesting. Remember, in these three ingredients of the Chavetz Kedera, so depending on your financial state, depending on how much of each ingredient you put in. So what were the villagers, in the village Chavetz Kedera, in the village Riyata, they were putting in what? Mostly flour. Mostly flour, because that was the cheapest item out of the three ingredients of Riyata. So, this Riyata of the Chalkoi that has a lot of flour. Why? My taima. The smida ikr, because it is the flour that is the ikr. The mechuzah, however, the same Riyata, remember, Riyata and Chavetz Kedera are the same thing. So the same dish of the city dwellers. They don't have that much flour in it. They make a shahakol. Why? My time up. Duvsha ikar. Because of the city folk, I guess we'll have a little bit more money, so they put in more honey. Therefore, the honey is the ikar. Vahadu amarava, idi v'idi borim neimazonos. And Rava says, no. Both riyatas, whether it's village riyata or city riyata, are both borim neimazonos. So what's the logic, the Rabbi Osai? So Rava is going to say that halacha lemaisa, proportions don't really matter. What matters is the fact that it has a core grain ingredient. Once it has a core grain ingredient, whether you're putting in more honey or less honey is irrelevant, makes it unbarim neimazonos. So the Gemara says, Rav Ushmol, the Amri Tarav, because Rav and Shmuel both said, Kol sheyesh mechamesha samin, and mevarachin alav, borim neimazonos. As long as you have grain in there, it's a mezonos. Amar of Yosef, Hai chavitza, the isbe perurin, kizayis. So Rav Yosef says like this, the chavitza, now remember, chavitza, Rashi points out over here again, chavitza, ke'ein shleinkuk shemafarin besocha ilfas lechem. Alright, so I don't know if that shleinkuk helps you out a lot, but the idea is, chavitza is the same basic idea. You're taking the same, except whereas Chavitz Kedera was made with flour, chavitza was made with actual pieces of bread. So you would go ahead and you take a loaf of bread, you'd break it up into pieces. Rashi points out over here that you would go ahead and you would put it ilfas. Ilfas is a frying pan. So I guess you'd mix it up, whatever with us, with oil, with honey, with... I'm sorry? Okay, good. So, but here, just the point is, the major distinction over here is that as opposed to Chavetz Kedera Riyata, which used flour, this is using mamish bread. So the Gemara says, Rav Yosef says, Hai chavita de ispe pirurin kizayis. Also, we have to be very careful with the phraseology here. It's a bread dish that still has kizaysim of bread within this. All right. So mevarich alav hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz, ulevasof mevarich alav shalosh brachas. So Rav Yosef says, you make a hamotzi, and then at the end you bench. The less be pirurin kizayis. However, if let's say you don't have kizayis pieces of bread in it, then what? Betchila mevarich alav bori minei mezonos, ulebasof bracha achas mein shalosh. If the pieces are not a kizayis, then what? Second opinion says, I'm sorry, still same opinion of Rav Yosef, then you make a mezonos and ala mechya. Amar Rav Yosef, mina aminala. So Rav Yosef says, where do I know this from? Disanya, hayu omeit umakrit minachos b'Yerushalayim. If a person was offering a mincha in Yerushalayim, omer, Baruch Shechiano Vikimano Vigiano Lazmanaze. You would go ahead and you'd make a bracha of Shechiano. Rashi points out over here. So Rashi says, Im Lohevi Menachos Ze Yomim Rabim. Now this is not important for our discussion. The Gemara just happens to be quoting the Braisa that details the process of bringing a mincha. So if you haven't brought a mincha in a while, you'd say Shechiano. Notlan La'achlan. When you would take the mincha and you would eat it, you would say, because remember, we'll say how the mincha works depending on the type of mincha. There are different types of menachos. There are certain menachos that are total property of the kohen, and there are other menachos that the kohen gets some and the bialim gets some also. See, if you took some, when you took the piece of the mincha to eat, mevarich hamotzi lechem min haaretz. What bracha do you make on a carbon mincha? Hamotzi. Now, why is this important for us? Because what's the process? V'tani Allah, how did you make a carbon mincha? Kulan posesin kizayis. What you would do is, so Rashi points out over here, Kulan posesin kizayis kilomar Botzan kodem kemisa, va'osin osa pesisin kizesim. So what you would do, Rabbi Osa, and this is not in every type of mincha, there's a certain type of menachos, you would take, let's say, the matzah or the wafer, you would break it up into kizayis-like pieces. So the point over here is, what were you eating of the mincha? You were eating kizayis, there were kizayis pieces in this mixture. And what do you see from here? That only when there are kizayis pieces are you actually making a hamotzi. So Rav Yosef uses this then to formulate his shita, that if you take a loaf of bread and you cook it into a dish, so the bracha will depend on the size of the pieces of bread that are left. If there are kizayis pieces left in the mixture, then halacha lemaisi make a hamotzi, and therefore bench afterwards. If the pieces are less than a kizayis, then halacha lemaisi only make a mezonos and an al mechya. Rav Yosef says, where do I get this from? I get this from the process of mincha. Amar li Abaye. So Abaye says the following. Ela me'ata, but according to this particular logic, if we have time, we'll come back to the mincha piece. So the Gemara is like this. Amar Abaye ela me'ata letana debei Rav Yehuda the Amar parchin ad shemachzirin lesalsan. So we'll say the Gemara is like this. But Abaye says, you know, Rav Yosef, not everybody agrees with that process for mincha. In fact, there are some who hold that the way you make a mincha is how, if you are bringing it from wafers, you would actually go ahead and break up the wafers until what? Till they're very fine flour, right? That you would not have pieces. Hachanami, the lo boy bruchi hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Would you say then that what that means is, according to this opinion, when the owner afterwards, or the coin afterwards, eats the mincha, that he would not say a hamotzi lechem min haaretz because they're not kizayis pieces? So maybe you'll say that is indeed the case, that if you would go ahead and break up the mincha loaf into fine flour, that you would not say hamotzi lechem min haaretz on that afterwards. But we learned afterwards, lakat mikulan kizayis va'achlan, if you collected a kizayis of all of these and ate it. So look at this, I think look at Rashi for just a moment. Va'atanya lakat mikulan pesise haminachos. If you collected from all the pieces of mincha a kizayis. Look at the next Rashi. Actually, don't look at Rashi right now. Kulan va'achlan, and you ate them. Im chametzu anush kares, if you ate it, your chayiv kares, meaning if it's chametz and you ate on Pesach, your chayiv kares. Ve'im matzahu adam yotze yidei chavasa bePesach. Then aloch, but if you ate it and it was, let's say, not chametz, it was matzah, then you would be able to discharge your obligation on Pesach. So we'll say, what does this show? What Abai is trying to show is, you see from here that even if the pieces themselves are not the kizayis, but what? You bring them together, right? You just eat a lot of it, then what? It has the status of bread. Which, of course, it totally shares Rav Yosef's entire argument. Let's just trace the argument. Rav Yosef is trying to say, we're not really focusing, this is not a kachim shir. We're focusing right now on this, we'll call this bread pudding. And our shayla over here is, you took a loaf of bread, you broke it up into pieces, you cooked it into another dish. The shayla now is, what's the bracha? Rav Yosef wants to suggest that everything depends on the size of the pieces of bread in the cooked dish. If the size of the pieces of bread are a kizayis, you make a hamotzi. Less than a kizayis, you make a mezonos. Rav Yosef says, where do I get this from? I get this from the process of mincha. Because when it comes to mincha, the halacha is, when you eat your mincha, you make a hamotzi. But what are the sizes of mincha pieces that you're eating? A kizayis. You see from here that it's only in a kizayis you make hamotzi, nothing else. Comes along Abaye, says, one second. Not everybody agrees with the process of mincha that you are describing over here. Some say that, what do you do with mincha? You mamash grind it up into very small pieces. And yet the Braisa says that if you, let's say you were to eat that mincha on Pesach, so the Gemara says, if you were to eat a kizayis of it, now what's the case over here? Where you're eating a whole bunch of little pieces that form the shear of the kizayis, then if it was chametz, you chayiv kares, and if it was matzah, you've discharged your obligation. So what do you see from here? That even an achila of less than kizayis size pieces, halacha lemaisa is still significant. According to this logic, Rav Yosef, you should even say that what? That even if the bread concoction, the bread dish, has pieces less than the size of a kizayis, then halacha lemaisa should also be a hamotzi. So the Gemara says the following. Halacha lemaisa, no. What is the case by the mincha? B'sha'arsan. The case over here is where halacha lemaisa, you've taken the smaller pieces, and what? You've arsan literally means you've kneaded them back together. So you've taken the small pieces and you've combined them to form a larger unit. So as opposed to the image we had before where you're just eating the little pieces one by one. No, no, no. The case over here where you be chayef akares, right? Or you be yotze with matzah is when you took the little pieces and you brought them all back together. Ihochi ema seifa. If that's the case, then look at the end. Right? The seifa where it says, v'husha achlon bichde achilas pras. Where the Braisa says that this is only true, that the eating of these smaller pieces is only significant if you eat them within a certain time frame. Namely, the shear of Kedei Achilas Pras, the time that it takes one to go ahead and eat a snack. Eat a snack. How long is that time? So we'll talk about that. The big machlokis, anywhere between, we'll call it 2 minutes and 9 minutes. The Iba Sha'arsan, and if you're telling me the case over here is where he took all the little pieces and combined them back together, Ha Sha'achlon Sha'achlo Miboy, then it should not say the time that it takes to eat them, but it should say what? The time that it takes to eat it. So the Gemara says, Hacha Mayaskinon, what's the case over here? Beba Milechem Godol. The case over here, you're right, is where the situation over here is where the little pieces have come from a larger loaf. So Rabosai, when the smaller pieces have come from a larger loaf, the assumption is that the small pieces retain their identity even what? Even when they're no longer part of the larger loaf. So the Gemara says, okay, at the end of the day, my havi Allah. So what is the bottom line case? What is the bottom line halacha? Amar Rav Sheshes, here we go. Hai chavitza. Af agav de les be perurin kizayis mevarich alav bamotzi lechem mina aretz. So Rav Sheshes says, when it comes to this cooked dish that has pieces of bread, you're right. Even if the pieces are less than the size of the kizayis, you make a hamotzi. You make a hamotzi with one caveat. Amar Rava vehu deika torisa dinama. With the caveat that what? That it looks like bread. And on both sides, that indeed is halacha l'maisa. If you have a cooked dish that has bread in it, you do not need pieces to have the kizayis, but what you do need is what he calls torisa dinama, or what we call in Hebrew, toar lechem. It has to have the appearance of bread. As long as the bread itself is discernible within the mixture, then halacha l'maisa, even if the pieces themselves are smaller than Akizayis, the mixture will still get a hamotzi. Let me just show you, go back for one moment to Amud Aleph. I just want to end with this. We'll stop over here for the Gemara. But I just want to show you on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Take a look, there's a beautiful Tosus. Tap Tosus, Bori Nefashos Rabos Vechesronam. So Tosus says over here, a beautiful idea. This phrase, literally, Kadosh Baruch Hu creates many neshamos, many nefashos, and their deficiencies. So what does that mean? So the way Tosus understands it is, kimo lechem umayim shi efshar belohem. So Tosus understands, chesronam means what? God creates many, so God creates us, the chesronam. And He also creates the things without which we would be deficient. For example, bread and water. So chesronam doesn't refer to us. Chesronam means our needs. He creates the things without which we would be lacking. What does it mean? Ve'al kol ma shebara lachayos bohem nefesh kol chai. And what about the next phrase that says, and He created all of the things that sustain us. Kilomar al kol ma shebaolam shegamim lo baram yicholim haolam lachayos bohem shelobaram kiim letanug ba'alma. And what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also created all the things in the world lachayos bohem nefesh kol chai to sustain us? That refers to all of the things that God did not need to create, but He created because He loves us. For example, kimo tapuchim, like fruit, right? No one really needs salad, right? At the end of the day, right? Yeah, so you have a piece of flesh, you're going to be okay. So nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's just a beautiful Taichin Tosus, that Borei Nefashos Rabos Vechesronam, thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu for creating my necessities, the things without which I would be chaser, Ve'al komash shebaras alachayos mem nefesh kol chai. But you didn't just stop there. You created all of the additions as well. You created all of the other things, things that we don't need, but of course we actively partake pleasure in. Baruch Tohu Hashem Chelma. Okay, so that's just, that is a beautiful understanding of Tosas, as opposed to the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim understands, I think I mentioned this just recently. The Chafetz Chaim brings down that the Chesronam deficiencies is actually a reference to us. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with all of our deficiencies. So I asked the Chafetz Chaim, so what kind of praise of that is to the Ribono Shel Olam? So the Chafetz Chaim says, because He created us deficient by design. Because if He created each of us whole, we would not need each other. The fact that He created us deficient by definition creates almost unnecessary interdependence. And that interdependence is what ultimately brings us together as a klal. So whether you like Tosas' idea or ultimately the Chafetz Chaim idea, the idea is the same. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, but didn't just put us here, made sure we have everything we need in order to live successfully. All right, stop.